Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where we're joined by Conor Campbell, who's a financial analyst at Spreadex. How are you today, Conor?
Very good, thank you.
Okay, we've got a few markets and stocks to look at. Let's get on with the cross of the moment, or one of them.
Yep, pound euro. Obviously, you know, big event this week and today is Theresa May's Brexit speech later on. Interestingly, you know, it's curious to see how the pound's going to react to the speech. For the simple fact that most of what Theresa May is going to announce has already been released, you know, on Sunday and then this morning and yesterday. You've had, you know, pretty much what seems to be the entire content of the speech, you know, in dribs and drabs leaked out. So you could pretty much put together a comprehensive outline of what she's going to say without actually ever listening to what she produces later on today. You know, you saw a sharp fall yesterday for the pound against the euro and the dollar and, you know, a basket of other currencies. It's bounced back slightly today. It's going to be interesting to see whether it just, you know, maybe falls back to where it was yesterday, or if the renewed clarity that this speech might give the markets might see the pound lift slightly. Even if the news is pound negative, the fact that now there is perhaps the clearest idea of what the government is pursuing when they're going to go into negotiations with the EU, even if that does mean, it does seem that that means no more single market access for the UK, that might give some slight boost to the pound. I think that is what our clients are looking for. You know, they've been buying around the 1.14 mark. When it dipped below that, I think they were looking for it to bounce above that. Again, likely a short-term bounce rather than any long-term comment on the health of the pound, but I still think they're looking for some kind of positive reaction, perhaps. You've also got the ECB meeting on Thursday that could cause some movement between the two currencies, but okay, obviously the focus is on May's speech today.
And your clients, they prefer the cross this way around rather than euro sterling?
Yeah, this is how it's traded on Spreadex.
Great, all right. Next market, the FTSE, which is actually down a bit today. Is this the end of the, you know, umpteenth day?
Obviously, you know, it failed to, I think the record ended last night, you know, it trickled a slight bit lower in that put to end, you know, it's sort of two record runs it was on. I think that's probably good news for our clients because they've been selling the FTSE for God knows how long, you know, whenever it's crept towards that 7,300 mark and above, our clients have not been confident in it staying there for much longer. We'll see, you know, what it can do. You know, it's complicated by the fact that the pound could be in for a substantial fall if it goes the wrong way, and that is obviously going to help support the FTSE a bit. Like I said, though, our clients selling around that 7,300 mark and above, looking for some kind of trickle lower. Obviously, tomorrow you've got the jobs report. The figures are expected to be healthy. It's only going to be any real a shock there that's going to cause any major movement. You've also got the Chinese GDP and industrial production figures on Friday. They may seem disconnected, but they tend to have an impact on the miners, and then in turn the miners can have quite a severe impact on the FTSE. So that might be something to watch towards the end of the week, just the health of those figures and how they're going to impact on the stocks like Rio Tinto.
Okay, let's go on to the stocks, which is company I'm fascinated by, Netflix.
Netflix, I think, probably the biggest company reporting this week. I think it's its fourth quarter figures on Wednesday evening. You know, earnings reports from Netflix tend to go one of two ways. You can sort of see just at the start of that chart that rather severe fall there in July. You know, that was, I think that was the third in a row of pretty poorly received updates from Netflix. And then you see its third quarter report in October, and you can see, you know, when it goes well, how well it goes for Netflix. I think that was maybe a 17-18% jump. The big issue there was it absolutely smashed subscriber growth expectations. I think people were expecting 2.3 million new customers. It managed, I think, 3.47 million around the globe. You know, that's a big beat on what it was expecting. This time around, the expectations are even higher. I think Netflix itself has stated that it expects to add 5.2 million new subscribers. That's, you know, that's a big jump. I think it's rolled out effectively worldwide now, so it has got room for that big kind of jump. But there have been disappointments in the past with international growth, as evidenced by sort of the negative reaction to the three preceding earnings releases before that one in October. Elsewhere, you've also got, I think revenue is expected to jump 35% to 2.47 billion. Earnings per share expected to more than double to 13 cents. You know, that's all very well and good, but it's really going to be those subscriber growth figures that sort of set the mark for how investors react. Our clients have been buying around the $130 mark. Obviously, you could say that Netflix is looking very high, and even if it does post a good earnings report, how much further can it climb?
But hasn't the transformation here been that these channels, let's say, digital channels, are now producing their own content. No, which I think, has really been, that's the re-rating that we're seeing.
I read a stat, I think Netflix aimed to go from 600 or 700 hours of content, of original content in 2016 to 1,000 hours of original content by the end of 2017. And I think also it has been moving away from spending money on, you know, buying whatever it can in terms of other companies' products to producing its own content. You've just seen last Friday the release of A Series of Unfortunate Events, which I think is Netflix's first four-quadrant show, you know, aimed at kids, teenagers, 20-somethings and adults. You know, so you can see it's really trying to consolidate that market now. And, you know, it's seen success as well. You know, the Golden Globes, it won Best Drama for The Crown. You know, it shows are legitimately mainstream shows, even if it's not. I guess it is now the new mainstream, really. You know, streaming is.
Well, not such good news for ITV
and
the BBC.
What a shame. Not at all.
Right, next we've got Halfords.
Halfords, pretty much it's been a bog-standard post-Brexit British stock, really. You know, it saw a severe drop after the referendum result. And then they've sort of been bouncing around this 50p sort of trading bracket. You know, its fundamentals are pretty good. Its half-year figures back in November, it saw a 6.3% rise in revenue to around 567 million. However, the issue sort of capping it is sterling slump has really affected its profits. I think despite that revenue rise, in those half-year figures, it saw a 16% fall in pre-tax profit to 39 million. And that's likely going to be the issue for its third quarter figures, I think, on Wednesday. Like-for-likes are meant to jump 3.5% over the third quarter. That's including, you know, the Christmas period. However, it's going to be their comments on the pound and its impact on them importing items from abroad that I think is going to define the investor reaction. Our clients are still buying it around the 350 mark, I think, because its sales figures are so healthy. But it is really going to depend on what kind of tone they strike to do with sterling slump that's going to dictate how it moves on Wednesday.
Let's finish off with Royal Mail.
Royal Mail, so again, sort of a classic post-Brexit stock, but in the very negative sense that you can see, you know, it was doing quite well before the referendum result. And then since then, it's just sort of, as you can see, seeing these sort of dramatic drops lower. Most recently, its half-year figures, it actually managed a 1% increase in revenue to, I think, 4.6 billion. Pre-tax profit rose 5%. However, I think operating profit before transformation costs fell 5%. There was also a £100 million increase in its sort of cost savings targets. That really displeased investors. You've also at the moment got sort of the brewing pensions issue. I think that's meant to come to a head in March after the consultations ended. There should be some kind of comment about that this time around, especially since that could lead to, you know, strikes, which is obviously not going to be a good thing for its stocks. Also, you know, post-Christmas, I think parcel volumes are going to be key. I think the company hired 19,000 temporary staff over Christmas to deal with an upswell in demand. So that should, investors will be looking for that to be reflected in parcel revenue and hopefully to mitigate the sort of the sharp slowdown seen in letters volumes as well. And our clients, they're buying it around that 440 mark, I think probably because it just looks quite low at the moment and there is room for it to grow with the slightest bit of positive news on Thursday.
Conor Campbell, financial analyst at Spreadex, thank you very much for coming in today.